It's in the text. It's in the Bible. Jeremiah, the people want him to die. What has he done? What has he said that deserves such wrath? We're going to take a look at Jeremiah 26 to see if maybe we can talk in ways that also minimize the anger of people against us when we speak the true word of God. But before we do that, as is our custom on this Monday, February the 18th in the year of our Lord 2013, to go over the lessons for the coming Sunday, we have, about 30 people in the studio here right now. And we've got three of them set up on mics here, and we're going to start with, these are great names. We have Adam, who of course is from Genesis, Jonah, from the book of Jonah, and Grace, who appears everywhere in the Bible. So Adam, Jonah, and Grace. Adam, why are you here? What group is this?
We're a confirmation group from Columbia, Missouri, Trinity Lutheran Church, and we're taking a tour of the university, the seminary.
The seminary, and you're in KFUO taking a look at this building, right?
Yes.
You're going to find a lot of interesting things. Who's your pastor?
Pastor Gericke and Pastor Thiem.
Very good. Jonah.
Yes?
Why would you jump in a fish?
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, were you that scared?
I guess.
Yeah, but thankfully, God got you out of the fish. And what school do you go to?
I go to LSE in Boonville, Missouri.
LSE?
Laura Speed Elliott.
Oh, yeah, okay. And what grade are you in?
I'm in sixth grade.
And what are you going to be when you grow up, besides a pastor, of course?
I want to be a weatherman. Meteorologist.
Well, you should have given the weather just now. It's really simple. It's all spelled out here. And as you can see, it's thunderstorming outside. You hardly ever get the weather right around here. St. Louis is a particularly difficult place. The gentleman who's usually on here, his name is Buzz. That is his hobby, doing weather. And so when I come in, I'm going somewhere in the country, I say it's going to be snowing, he can tell me within a few minutes. So being a weatherman, especially with all the new things that finagle things, that's pretty good. And Grace.
Yeah, hi.
How are you saved?
By Grace.
Thank you. So you're your own salvation person?
Oh, yeah.
And what school do you go to, same?
I go to Good Shepherd Lutheran School.
Oh, that's a parochial school?
Yep.
And your pastor's name is?
Pastor Gericke and Pastor Thiem.
Pastor Gericke, and which one do you like? Oh, no, never mind. Okay. Do any of you have any questions of a theological nature? Come on. Somebody's got. Yes, go ahead, Grace. Got anything on your mind? So you know the Bible that well?
Oh, yeah, that's my thing.
Okay, is there anywhere in the Bible that it says something like, on Judgment Day, God's going to decide whether you go to heaven or hell by your works? Is there anywhere in the Bible that says that? Oh.
I don't know.
Wouldn't that be in
Revelation? No,
Revelation.
Actually,
Revelation.
No, it's not in Revelation, but it's in 2 Corinthians. Now, does that make any sense?
No.
No, it doesn't, does it? So, is the Bible a book that contradicts itself?
No.
No, that's correct. The Bible doesn't contradict itself anywhere. You know what God is talking about in 2 Corinthians? He is saying that on Judgment Day, he has to find evidence that you're a Christian. And you know what he looks for? He doesn't look for good works. He looks for what they call fruit of the Holy Spirit. And that is something you've done automatically because of your love for Jesus. Is Jesus your Savior?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. What did he do on the cross to get rid of you, your damnation? Anything in particular?
He just died, that's all.
That's right. He died, that's all.
He gave his life for us.
What keeps you from going to heaven?
Sin.
Sin, okay. Are you a sinner?
Yes.
Oh, so you're not going to heaven?
No, Jesus saved me.
But if sin keeps you from going to heaven, then nobody be going to heaven, because we're all sinners. You know, it's not sin that keeps us from going to heaven. My program is called Law and Gospel. You know what keeps you from going to heaven? It's called the curse of the law. In the day that you sin, death is the result, an eternal death. What Jesus did on the cross, he didn't get rid of your sins in the sense that you don't sin anymore. Look in the mirror, you're a sinner. Even pastors are sinners. Did you know that?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. And if you need evidence, I'll give you my wife's phone number. At any rate, what really Jesus did on the cross is he took the curse of the law and punished and suffered eternal punishment. And I'll start the words off, you finish them for me, what he said. My God, why
have you forsaken me?
Excellent. That's where your salvation came in. And he died for the sins of the whole world. The fact of the matter is everybody's sins are forgiven. And KFUO, we're a worldwide KFUO, which means I have people who call me from Australia, in Asia, all over the world because of the internet. They don't hear us because of the antenna. You can't go much further than Cape Girardeau. I'm sure in your area you can't get KFUO either. But you can on the internet. And, of course, you can. I carry an iPhone around. You know what an iPhone is?
Yes.
Well, yeah, of course you know what an iPhone is. Because half of you are texting right now instead of listening to me, see? Okay. Any other questions before you're about to leave? Anything else at all?
How do we know his name is Adam in Genesis?
Well, because of the Transfiguration. At the Transfiguration, the most important thing that was said was not by Elijah or Moses. They were talking about Jesus' departure or his exodus from the world. That's the word they use. And it sure wasn't Peter's most important words because he wanted to make a tabernacle for each of them, a worship center. And Bible says he was not even knowing what he was saying. The most important words, so he was a lot like us. The most important words were from the Father who said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Okay, do you listen to Jesus today? Can you hear him? Every time you read this book, the Bible, this is Jesus' words. And when does Jesus first appear in the Bible? Anybody got an idea?
The very beginning.
Very good. In fact, he's in the third verse. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." That's the Father. "And the Holy Spirit hovered around the face of the waters." That's the Holy Spirit. And then the next verse 3 says this, "And God said, let there be light." Who was that?
Jesus.
That was Jesus. And in fact, we have a book that we put out where 70 times in the Bible, the angel of the Lord is Jesus before he became incarnate through the Virgin Mary. In other words, to answer your question, why do we know his name is Adam? Because Jesus tells us in the Bible. And the most important thing I would get you to understand right now is some of you are going to be going to high school. You're probably there already. Some of you going to college. You're going to hear things that are contrary to God's word. And here's the question I want you to ask your professor when he tells you things that aren't in God's word. All you ask him is, where is that in the Bible? And if they can't prove it from the Bible, don't listen to them. If you're talking about ethics, like abortion or homosexuality, don't listen to them. Or evolution, don't listen to them. Because Jesus is the one we're to listen to. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Have a wonderful tour. And thank you very much for coming, and thank you for bringing them. How many of you are going to be pastors?
You.
Two pastors put their hand up. Or deaconesses.
Great job, buddy. Awesome.
Oh,
thanks.
Time to cut out the microphones. Hey, thank you so very much for coming. God bless. Huh? Well, I'm still talking. That's correct. We're going to find out why they hated Jeremiah so much they wanted to kill him. I'm Tom Baker, and we were happy to have those folks in. They're going on a tour around KFUO. Let's get right to the lesson right now. It's from Jeremiah chapter 26. "And the priests and the prophets spoke to the princes and all the people, saying, 'This man deserves to die, for he has prophesied against this city, as you have heard with your ears.'" Whoa! Are we understanding here what is being said? Jeremiah is a prophet of the Lord. He is not going to say something that he wants to say. In other words, verse 8 begins this way, Jeremiah 26. When Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people seized him, saying, "You will surely die. Why have you prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant'?" And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. In fact, when the princes of Judah heard these things, they came up from the king's house to the house of the Lord and sat down in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house. And the priests and the prophets spoke to the princes and all the people, saying, "This man deserves to die, for," okay, here comes the reason, "he has prophesied against this city, as you have heard with your ears." Now, we here in the United States have a real privilege that was not found back in Jesus' day, nor was it found, or is it found, in many other countries today. It's freedom of speech. I, as a pastor, can stand up and speak out against homosexual behavior as an abomination to Almighty God, and nothing's going to happen to me in the United States. But if I was doing it in Canada over the airwaves, I would be fined for hate speech. That's right. And many other countries are like that. Jeremiah was speaking against Israel because many of them had lost their faith, and the Babylonians were going to be coming and destroying the people, taking them into captivity, and crushing down the temple. And of course, these people, they still did temple things. Like, they would go to the temple, they would do their worship, they would do their sacrifices, but they did not have faith in Jesus Christ. They didn't believe they needed a Savior from sin. And so God was going to discipline them by taking them into captivity. Of course, he would bring them back, and they would restore the temple to some degree and get ready for the coming of the Messiah. In fact, Jeremiah's voice says, "The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city with all the words that you have heard. Now, therefore, amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God. Then the Lord will relent concerning the doom that he has pronounced against you." Wow. Yes, we get the, shall we say, the consequences of sin, of course, when we sin. For example, if you're getting a ticket for going over the speed limit every day, guess how you can stop that? Just don't go over the speed limit, and God will relent in giving you a ticket. Yeah, our police in the area that I live are getting a little sneaky. I don't understand this, but the main thoroughfares are 30, 35, 40 miles an hour, but all the side streets are 20 miles an hour. I don't even know if a car can go that slow. But recently they have been putting up radar guns on the 20-mile-an-hour streets near where I'm at. And so, of course, what does that make me do? I go 20 miles an hour. I feel like sometimes I get out of the car and push it or do something, but that's what you got to do. By the way, if anybody wants to talk about Jeremiah, we've got another point we want to make, is what are we going to do so that people don't hate us? Okay? Jeremiah says that God will relent if the people, of course, stop their sinning and start believing in Jesus Christ. He says this about whether or not they're going to put him to death. "If you put me to death, you will surely bring innocent blood on yourselves, on this city, and on its inhabitants. For truly the Lord has sent me to speak to you all these words in your hearing." It was what we were telling the kids who are in here on the tour, that God definitely wants them to listen to Jesus at all times. That's why we know Adam was called Adam by God, and Eve was called Eve, the mother of all the living. Why? Because that's what God revealed. Christianity is a totally different religion than any other religion in the world, because every other religion can come from the common sense of humanity. But Christianity is a revealed religion which has elements in it that no human being could ever imagine, such as salvation by grace through faith on account of Jesus the Christ. So, let's get to the point that I want to make. What can we do to say things to people in our day so they don't hate us? Answer, there's nothing you can do. What? No, we don't have the goal of getting people to hate us. We love people just like our Lord loves people. But the fact of the matter is God has given a promise to us of what's going to happen here on earth. It's part of the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The fact of the matter is, if you speak the clear word of God, you will be persecuted in this world. Because there are many people who no longer agree with the word of God. Now, can you therefore not do anything? Well, let me give you an example. You know, I've got this store, Bargains New and Resale, and my goal is always to get people into theological conversation. Well, a young couple had come in on Saturday, and we were talking together there. And I said, you know, I'm not always here because I'm a pastor. I have a radio. Oh, what radio is it? Gave him the times and the location of the radio on the dial, etc. And I said, are you going to a church? No. We're not going to a church. And so I looked at them and I said, oh, are you atheist? And they said, no, we're not atheists. You know, the one was a former Roman Catholic and the other one was a former, I think, Methodist. So I could have said, well, you know, if you don't go to church, you're in big trouble. Hell is ready for you. They probably would have walked out of the store. What I did say, and that wasn't to keep him in the store, what I did say was, well, let me ask you, do you know who Jesus is? And both of them said, yes. Do you believe in him? And the girl said, oh, yes, I do. And I said, well, then you're saved. You're saved. You see, there was no need to give law at that point because I began talking to the former Roman Catholic, and of course I heard exactly what I knew I was going to hear. He was not very happy with the theology of the Roman Catholic Church, and it got into legalism. That is, you better behave, you better do good works, or else you're in trouble. And I said, well, we Lutherans, we're a little different. In fact, that's what the whole Reformation was about. We believe, teach, and confess that you are saved by God's grace, freely, without any effort on your part. Before I said that, I remember asking them, what do you think we believe that you have to do in order to be saved? And the one gentleman, because of the Roman Catholic background, well, you have to do good works. And the girl, because she had been with a non-denominational church, she said, well, you have to have faith. And I said, no, those are two things you do not have to do. The first, because it won't do any good, no matter how many works you have. And the second, because you cannot decide to have faith. It's a gift from God. We believe that you don't do anything. And then we went into a lengthy conversation about adoption. I said, what does a baby do to get adopted? And the young man said, oh, nothing. I said, well, that's what we believe that God did to you. He adopted you into his family. Fortunately, we have some good Missouri Synod churches in the area. And in fact, we have a tract from one of them, Our Redeemer Overland, that they did for us in Spanish, because I get a number of Hispanics coming to the store. And so that's what we try and do. We try and get them affiliated with one of the churches in the area in order that they might be pleasantly surprised to hear that salvation is free. Now, if somebody would ask, well, if salvation is free, why do I have to do anything? Well, you don't have to do anything, but the fact is, the more you realize that salvation is free, then you want to do things. It's kind of like having unloving or loving parents. unloving parents, you don't care much about giving them anniversary gifts or this sort of thing. But loving parents, you so appreciate them that you want to do things for them spontaneously. And that's how works work. Not as a prerequisite for God loving you, but as a response to your hearing the revelation from God's holy word that he loves you already, to the point where he died in order to take away the curse of the law, your sins. So Jeremiah, he even says to the people who are trying to kill him, "As for me, here I am in your hand. Do with me as seems good and proper to you." And then says, "But if you put me to death, you're going to bring innocent blood on yourselves." See, the Christian to die for his faith is not part of a punishment that we receive. It's actually a blessing. Although I don't think that would ever happen in the United States. I don't know of any Lutheran pastor who stood up for the faith and was put to death for doing so. I probably know of some, or I've heard of some, that were shot to death, say by a jealous husband who didn't want his wife hanging around the pastor so much, regardless whether something was going on, or a pastor that recommends a divorce on the part of the wife and then the husband gets so angry. But that's more pastoral advice. As to actual theology and doctrine, I'm not aware of any pastor who's been put to death either by the government or by somebody really angry with him because he speaks proper doctrine, at least in the United States. Whereas you go to other countries, like where we do missionary work in Kazakhstan and Kyrgyzia, and many other countries like Saudi Arabia, it's not at all unusual for Christian pastors to be put to death for what they are preaching. So, in a sense, it takes great courage to stand up for Jesus. And that standing up for Jesus takes place again and again as God leads us to the truth of his holy word. For when you stand up for Jesus, what you're doing is putting in a situation where God is rewarding you, but they're not rewards of merit. They're rewards of grace. Remember the difference between justice, mercy, and grace. Justice is where God gives you what you deserve. Mercy is he does not give you what you deserve, and grace is he gives you more than you deserve. So we're in a situation as Christians that we have nothing to fear except fear itself. For the Lord says all things will work together to our good, and even when we be put into persecution, even to the point of death, God is still with us and will never allow that to happen until he is ready for us to come to heaven. Yeah, Jeremiah and many of the prophets, very, very bold people. And all they were doing is speaking the word of God as God commanded them so to do. In fact, that's kind of what our liturgy is all about. We repeat back to God what he has said to us. And one will never tire of the liturgy if one is taught about it properly. Because it kind of is, the entire liturgy is a path of your becoming saved, normally in the waters of baptism. That's why we start the service off in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, reminding us of our baptism. And then we are made worthy to come into the presence of God because we consider ourselves to be unworthy. It's called repentance, and that's the next part of the service, where we confess our sins and the pastor gives us the absolution. So get involved with a church that understands the liturgy, and you'll see all kinds of insights in there that you may never have realized before. Insights that are really for the purpose of bringing you into a right relationship with Jesus Christ and with your neighbor. And sometimes you have to tell your neighbor things they don't like hearing. But to do it in a winsome way doesn't mean that you have to berate them or yell at them or consider what they're doing as horrible. No. You use words as Jesus did with the Samaritan woman at the well.
just talking to her in a friendly conversation, and it ended up not only her being converted to the faith, but the entire town. Because they heard first from her and believed, and then when they came to hear Jesus, wow. So where do you send somebody to hear Jesus? You go to the book of Romans or elsewhere to hear that wonderful good news of Jesus the Christ. And that's what KFUO is all about. Worldwide KFUO has the goal of being the messenger of good news, because there are so many people who are living in bad news. Tuesday, we've been getting emails, phone calls. If you're in the St. Louis area and maybe New York Times and other areas, you've heard about the worship service in regard to the Newtown, Connecticut massacre. Questions have been sent to us. What is the stance of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in regard to praying with others of different faiths? We're going to have Mark Smith on board with us to help us with that question. Till tomorrow then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.